Well, good morning, church. Good to see y'all this morning. I want to welcome anybody who's visiting. I'm seeing some faces I haven't seen in a while, so very good to see you. Because of Jesus, reconciliation is as easy as ABC. That's the title for today. There's a lot we're going to cover, so I just want to kind of start off right off the bat. But that was the main thing I wanted us to remember, because Jesus did all the work. And the verses there, Colossians 1, 15 through 23. I'm going to do a recap, but before I get into that, I just want to say one thing. When I was seeing all that Jesus did, and all I got to do is trust him, and he takes care of it in the most important thing in our lives, our salvation, our eternity. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be great when we have a home improvement, and all we got to do is trust a contractor, and they would take care of it for free, and we knew it would be done perfectly? Or a job hunter is looking for a job, you just hand it to them and you can just trust them with everything. You got 100% faith and you're going to get the perfect job that pays great, all that. I mean, think of how much we'd feel blessed. But what Jesus did is for eternity. We are going to reap the benefits for eternity because of what Jesus did for all of us. And we'll cover that in a little bit. Okay, so recap from the last time we were in Colossians. The title was taken from chapter 1, verse 10, May We Walk Worthy of the Lord. We talked about the prayer of Paul through the Holy Spirit that we would have the Lord's dynamo power according to verses 9b through 11. And I'll read those again as a reminder. But may we all be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy. I mean, amen. And the more you read these prayers, the more you see these things, the more you walk with Jesus. You know, we sang about it. If you call to him, he will answer. This whole existence, this whole life, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and what he did for us. Okay, and then last time we talked, we were reminded that when we fail, occasionally, not as a practice, we're not walking in darkness, but when we are walking in the light, we are walking in the Spirit, and we stumble and fall and we fail, which we all will, true believers will get back up. We will always get back up. We won't stay down. We will always repent and get back up and keep going. And again, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, being salt and light in this darkened world. And I talked about how Paul wrote this letter. Originally, Paul wrote this letter, and it was supposed to be shared with the Laodicean church, which was right down the road, the Laodicean letter, which we don't know where that is. But that was supposed to be read to the Colossian church, the church in Colossae. It was to combat some false teachings that were creeping into the church. And I'll get into a little bit of that. We're going to get into more of it as we keep going in Colossians. For today, we can relate to false teachings creeping back in the church, can't we? They're all over the place. So we're going to discuss some of those, some misinterpreted verses in today's message. There's a lot of churches that get a lot of bad mileage out of some verses we're going to cover today. So if you please stand for the reading of God's word. We stand so we can honor God as we read his word together as a church family. Verses 15 through 24. Colossians 1, 15 through 24. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether the things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the gospel, from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. This is the word of God. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for holding us together. Thank you for all the ideas and the wisdom that you have contained in these verses, Lord. It is so rich, Lord. And I just pray that you bless this message and each person hearing it comes away with what you want them to come away with and how it can equip them further to be a disciple of yours, Lord, and to meet the expectations that you have and the good works that you prepared beforehand in their circles of influence, Lord. We pray for your blessing, and we pray for you to be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So as a reminder, the title is Because of Jesus, Reconciliation is as Easy as ABC. So the intro here. Everyone learns ABCs, the alphabet, at a young age before they start. That's like their foundational piece for learning how to spell, to read, to write, to communicate. So it's the very beginning. And God made salvation so easy for all people as far as understanding it and the qualifications to achieve it, which would be impossible for us. But because God is so wonderful and loving and great, he made it easy for us. The biggest problem that people have is their sin nature-infused pride. We have to lay that down to accept the Savior. We have to accept that we can't do it on our own. We are not good enough on our own. But deep down, we all know God, that he created all things. And how do I know that? Because Romans 1 tells us. Nobody has an excuse. We can see the creation. We know that there's a creator. So I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe they exist. No one has an excuse. All people know we didn't create ourselves, much less the universe and everything we live in. Everything we see. An earthworm is more intricately detailed. It's a living being. It eats. It has waste. It helps the soil. It's more intricate than a supercomputer or an airliner. We can look at it and go, well, no, it isn't. But that jet can do nothing until someone gets involved with it. Today, we're going to learn and be reminded of who created it all, who reconciled it all, and who is holding it all together right now for a purpose. Not just randomly, but for a purpose. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God. I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself because there's so many scriptures that we could spend on this. And there's so many people who have misinterpreted what this is saying. Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. So what does that mean? Well, before we get into that, let's first make sure we know what it does not mean, what some people have taken it to mean, but we know it doesn't mean those. This verse is not saying that Jesus was a created being because we'll see in the next couple verses 16 and 17, he's the creator of all things. And in him, all things consist. If Jesus created all, and all means all, he surely didn't create himself. This is a great example of why we cannot take one verse only and run with it. Cult leaders do that. False teachers do that. They take one verse and they run with it. And if we're not Bereans, if we're not in our word, if we're not fellowshipping all the more with one another, we can easily just take someone's word for it and go with them. We can't do that. So if we're in the word and we test the scriptures against the other scriptures, we will find those errors. A good practice, basic practice, because, you know, it helps to go all through the Bible, the whole counsel of God, but just early on, it's good to read before and after the verses that are being quoted. Okay, so what then does it mean? If it doesn't mean that Jesus was created, because we know he's the creator, what does it mean? But why does it call him the firstborn? Jesus was before time began. He always was. So here's some verses to support that. Don't just take my opinion for it. We need to go into God's word. John 1, now I just got to be honest with you. I had a hard time deciding which verses to put in the message and which ones to leave out because they were all so good. And if I went through them all, we'd be here all day. There'd be no picnic, no baptisms. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John 5, 17 through 18. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father. Now listen to this. The Jews knew what he was saying. Making himself equal with God. Making himself, that's why they were mad at him. They knew what he was saying. He was making himself equal with God because he was God. They just rejected him. John 14, 8 through 11. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I spoke to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus showed that he was God because they knew God could only do those works. Healing someone born blind, raising from the dead. Then Jesus is raised from the dead because dead couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him because he was perfect, the perfect sacrificial lamb that was sent by God, the Trinity. They chose to send Jesus. He chose to send. Let us make man in our image. Let us send Christ to save the people. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I don't know how you can read these verses and still think that Jesus was born of God, that he wasn't God. I could truly spend all day talking about this, as I said, and reading many more verses to support Jesus as God, but for time's sake, we're going to move on to verse 16. But before I do, important to remember, if our understanding of a specific passage in Scripture contradicts another one, or in this case, many other ones, we have the wrong understanding. So back to the drawing board we go. Don't run with things when you see the contradiction, because they will work together. The Scriptures will work together. I got this visual from David this morning. He didn't even know I had it in the message. He was talking about it. But they don't do this, right, David? They don't do this. They do this. They do this. So Jesus could not be God and also created by God. He's the creator. He's the creator. God chose to use Jesus. Jesus is the creator of all things physical, everything we see and everything we don't see. So what I was trying to say was basically, he's God, but he couldn't be created by God and God, but he is the Son of Man who came as a virgin, chose to come to his creation of a virgin, came of a virgin. Okay, verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. So with this verse, Jesus is him. Jesus is him. All things were created by him and for him, and all means all. In heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Everything is his. The seen, the unseen, our entire existence. Everything's entire existence. You know, in one square block, like these are things we don't see, but they are still in the physical world. In one square block, there's more insects than there are people all over the world. And God's holding all this stuff together. He sees all of it. That's how great our God is. Who created all this? Jesus. Jesus. I didn't mess that up, right? Jesus. And God is a jealous God. Would God ever share his glory with someone else? Well, Isaiah 42:8 says no, along with you. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. God doesn't share his glory. The boldness that Jesus had, this is why C.S. Lewis and Josh McDowell, the liar, lunatic, or Lord. He's either lying, he's crazy, or he is the Lord. All things have been created by Jesus. Jesus is God, the second person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, also God, who goes out from the Father, testifies to who? Jesus. Jesus. John 15:26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Again, God doesn't share his glory. Jesus is God. God the Father and God the Spirit testifies to God the Son. God does not share his glory. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So who is he? Jesus. In this verse, who is he? Jesus. Who could be before all things in heaven and earth? Only God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In him all things consist, or another way to say it is hold together. Okay, so this is pretty incredible if you haven't heard about it. Well, I won't get into that yet. Almost there. Jesus didn't create us and let us go. We weren't like a wind-up toy. He didn't create us and go, okay, let's see how it goes. Deists kind of believe that, right? They believe God created us and now we're on our own. We're doing our own thing. But that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say that he's holding us together. And it doesn't say just believers. He's holding all of creation together for a purpose. For a purpose. The seen and the unseen. The heavens and the earth for a purpose. Okay, so now I'll get into that incredible thing when I first heard it. So how many of you have heard of laminin? Laminin. Okay, so if you have a pen and a piece of paper, maybe write down, go home and look up on YouTube, laminin, and try to find one by Louis Giglio. It's like G-I-G-L-I-O is how to say his name. He was actually preparing a sermon to fill in for his pastor, and he met this molecular biologist, and the molecular biologist asked him what his talk was about, and it was these verses. And the molecular biologist said, well, what, you know, he's talking about all these things and how God, Christ hold us together. And he goes, oh, well, what's your left hook? Like, what's your main point, your home run point in the message? And he goes, I don't have one yet. So he goes, oh, man. He gets all excited. He goes, man, laminin's your left hook. So because he knows this stuff, this detail, he tells him about laminin, which is a self-adhesion protein molecule. He's describing it. He's telling him it holds everything together in the human body. He's telling him all about it, and Louis's excited, but he still doesn't understand fully. Then he goes, go home and look it up. So he looked it up. Now, this is where I should have had a slide. Life was busy this week. But the scientific diagram of laminin, oh, and he described it as this. It's like the rebar of the human body. So when you do concrete, you pour it, it needs to hold together. You got that rebar in there. So it's holding it all together. It's a cross. It's a cross. My point is, if you get the strongest microscope, you can see God, see his fingerprints. And you get the greatest telescope, and you can see God. Everywhere you go, if you look, if you seek, you will find God holding all of us together. So I highly recommend it. I did not do as good as Louis. That is a great video. I played it for the young adults group. I almost played it here. I didn't know if it'd be a distraction or anything, disruption. But then he'd make the mistakes. It wouldn't be me making the mistakes if I did that. Okay, so laminin. So please ask me about it if you don't have a pen or paper and you want to look it up. I'll tell you. So what's this purpose that I keep mentioning, that he's holding us together for a purpose? He's holding you together first so we may believe in him. So we may believe in him. And then secondly, so we can go out and share the gospel, the good news. See, he wants to bring us all back to him to overcome sin and death, the fall, the results of the fall. And it's important to think about, this helps me at least, when I go out and I see people maybe being mean, evil, saying things, hating me, whatever it is, if I think about it and go, man, God, you are holding them together right now for a purpose. So I need to be able to have thick skin, right? Thick skin, soft heart, and not let those people get to me because God's holding them together right now. Never think God doesn't care, or doesn't know your situation. He knows and he's holding you together right now. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he may have preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Never let anyone replace Jesus as the head of the church. Not a vicar, not an angel, not some famous pastor. Don't ever take your focus off of Jesus onto someone else. Keep it on Jesus. Keep your focus and attention on Jesus. Audience of one. And the angel part, that is actually part, a little sprinkling in here, of what was creeping into the church in Colossae. Colossae, actually. I think I corrected myself on this, the first message. So I'm probably butchering that too. Just chalk it up to another mistake for today. So he's the firstborn of the dead. Jesus was the first one and only one to die after living a perfect life, but death couldn't hold him because he was sinless. He fulfilled the law's requirements, the only one who could. So he was the first one raised from the dead in righteousness. And he went to the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit. And all those who believe in him are also raised in the dead. So when he says everything might have preeminence, or as the NIV says, the supremacy, what does that mean? Protuo in the Greek means to be first, to hold first place. To hold first place. Jesus is supposed to be first in our lives. Amen? Because of the cross. Because of his cross that he endured for us. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. Luke 14, 26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We have to keep him first. It's a command. It's a command to keep him first. as a believer. Speaking to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2:4, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Before he said that, he said a bunch of stuff the church in Ephesus was doing good. But he had that against them. And why is he warning them? To hurt them? No, to help them. What's best for the church? What's best for us? Is it best to have Jesus as number one in first place? Yes. That's why he does these things. That's why conviction is loving from the Lord. He's trying to get you to be your best for him now and reap eternal rewards. Jesus created all things. He's holding them all together for a purpose. So then everything, he will be first, our first love, our first place, our firstborn, worshiped, honored, and obeyed. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our master. Don't let anyone ever get in between that, in between your relationship with the Lord and you. Nobody. The world, family and friends, and even people in the church. Do not let them get in the way of your relationship with Jesus. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Eudokeo means to take pleasure in, one's good pleasure. So it was the Father's good pleasure to have all the fullness of God dwell in Jesus. I was waiting for the back. I know what I think I'm saying. I just don't always know I'm saying it. Jesus is God in the flesh. God truly dwelt with his creation. This is all part of God's perfect plan. All part of his plan. You know, when Jesus looked at Philip and he goes, "Philip, how long have I been with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." I don't know about you, but as I read the scriptures, I didn't necessarily see it as obvious as that when he said that to Philip. But maybe there was some other stuff that was said. I don't know, but I never saw it that way. But look how patient Jesus was with him. "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." So Jesus is God. Philip was that close to God. Can you imagine being that close to God when Philip was sitting there talking to Jesus? You should, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. God dwells in you if you are a born-again believer. He sealed you. He's protected you. We're going to get into something later that's really awesome. I mean, we know it, but just to see it written out is like, wow. Incredible. Jesus is God in the flesh. God truly dwelt with his creation. So we see this word eudokeo in another part of Scripture. When John the Baptist baptizes Jesus and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove unto him. And suddenly a voice came. Did I tell you the scripture? I didn't. Matthew 3:17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Same word. That's that same word. So you have the Father speaking, and you have the Holy Spirit descending, and you have the Son right there. All three. Trinity right there. Okay, now we're going to get in the word dwell. The word dwell in the Greek is katakeo, which means to inhabit, to dwell. And I really liked what David Guzik said here. The ancient Greek word for dwell is here used in the sense of a permanent dwelling. There's an entirely different word used for the sense of a temporary dwelling place. But Paul wanted to emphasize the idea that Jesus was not temporarily God, but permanently God. He always was. God was pleased to have all the fullness of God dwell in Christ Jesus. Verses 20 through 22. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." That's what really stuck out to me. Above reproach in his sight. So the purpose of God was to reconcile, through Jesus, was to reconcile all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, back to himself. So God created all things. He already had a plan and a solution. He knew the fall was going to happen, but he knew what he needed to do to bring us back to him. He didn't react to the fall. He knew it was going to happen. Doesn't that give you assurance when you mess up that he knew it was going to happen? And he walks with you and he talks with you and he's there with you. And when you mess up, you are still a man of God, man or woman of God, even after you mess up, because you're above reproach in his sight. He wants you to be real, who you are. You messed up, repent, you know, give it to him. But man, it doesn't change who you are in God. Just act like it, be like it. Don't listen to the enemy. God had an answer for our sin nature before he even created us. He made peace with us through the blood of Jesus. His cross, the cross he went to for us, the cross he chose, he knew he was going to before he created us. The solution was set. That's the power of his cross. That's the power of his blood. When we have confidence in God, it's not confidence in ourselves. It is confidence in Jesus Christ. It's confidence in that blood that washes all our sins away. He made peace with all things. Now, does that mean all are saved? Because some people will take it there. God made peace with all things. He reconciled all things back to himself, even those who don't believe. Is that what that's saying? No. And we have verses to let us know that. So we're going to go over them. The way has been made for every person, but every person has to believe on the Lord Jesus to be covered in the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. So here's the verses to support. I wanted to sprinkle in a little Exodus in here. Exodus 12, 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this is when God destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt of the Egyptians. But I wanted to use this verse because it's important. God told them what they needed to do, but they couldn't just believe it and not do anything about it. They had to believe it in faith and take the blood from the lamb and put it on the door. We have to do the same thing. Remember the angel or the fallen angels, they all believe. But they're not reconciled to God. They believe. They had head knowledge, but they rebelled. We have to believe and commit to following our Lord as master. I use this analogy at work with Drew at break time. If I said I'm a Lions fan and he comes over to my house and I'm decked out in Chicago Bears gear and they're playing the Bears and I'm cheering on the Bears, he's going to look at me and go, you are not a Lions fan. And I believe that's what we're supposed to do when we examine ourselves to see if in the faith. So if you examine yourself and you see you are walking in darkness, you are not walking in the faith, you don't even care to walk in the faith. You don't even care what God's word says. That's a warning for you. God loves you and he wants you. He's holding you together. So you figure that out and go, Lord, I really want to believe in you in my heart and confess with my mouth. And I don't want to fake it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. But those people in Egypt, the Jews in Egypt, they had to have faith in the blood to trust it to save them when they placed it on those doorposts. Romans 3:25. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Must have faith in his blood. God didn't just shed his blood and it covers the sins. You have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to believe in the one who shed his blood, that he is the one God sent. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart and you are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that all who believe in him, I mess up this with NIV and New King James, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've had people ask me that, like, what version were you reading? Whoever believes should not perish. Whoever believes should not perish. So again, Jesus did all the work to reconcile all things back to God. And peace to all things back to God. But you have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to accept it. You have to admit you're a sinner. You have to believe. He made it as easy as ABC. Accept, admit, believe, and confess, commit. I know I added some extra words in there, but I thought they kind of helped clarify some things. So accept that you're a sinner. Admit you're a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as the one God sent to die for our sins. Perfect, holy, blameless Son of God who died for our sins. You have to admit you're not good enough. You have to admit you have nothing to add to what Jesus' blood did for you. He did it all. It's a completed work. His blood is so powerful, it doesn't need any help from us. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised the third day. Confess with your mouth. Don't keep it internal. This is why baptism is so good. You are publicly proclaiming your faith in Jesus Christ, that he washed away your sins. You accepted him. And you believe, and you want the whole world to know it. Confess with your mouth your belief in Jesus. Commit to trusting him and following him. Don't just confess. That's all you got to do. But as far as walking with the Lord, who wants to just continue walking in darkness? Confess with your mouth. Commit to trusting the Lord and following your Savior. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. As soon as you start realizing the unseen and the heavenly realms and eternity is more real and long-term than this place, the more this place starts to fade away, the draw of it starts to fade away. Things that once enticed you, you're like, that's not even that a big deal. That's not even that big of a deal. This stuff is not that big of a deal. It's really not. Why am I chasing my tail trying to do these things? I see Christians at work who compromise their faith for their career, the way they treat people. They have an agenda. It's not a Christian agenda. It's not treating people right. It's not loving people. It's a personal agenda. It's easy. It's easy to get those idols put in our lives, to get mad at others, arguments with others, all for the stuff that's going to pass away. Stuff in the long term, a lot of it's worthless. Wood, hay, and stubble. That's all it is. ABCs, it's that easy. It's that easy. Lay aside your pride, accept that I cannot do this on my own. I need a Savior. Accept Jesus Christ, your Lord Savior. Believe and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. That's what the Bible says. You will be saved. Not because you're that good. Not because you were something special for the Lord, but because the power of the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished it all. But if you reject Jesus as God, as your Lord and Savior, the one who the Father sent, was pleased to send to us to reconcile us, you've rejected the Messiah, Jesus Christ. You are not covered by the blood of Jesus. You've chosen up to now to rebel along with Satan and the fallen angels and all those others who have decided to rebel, who also rejected God and will not be reconciled. It's just the truth. And it sounds awful, doesn't it? But it's not over until it's over. As long as you are physically alive, you can change things. Because who's holding you together? For a purpose. He's holding all people together for a purpose to get them to that moment. There's some tough nuts to crack out there. I was one of them. Took jail cell, pepper spray, hopelessness, nowhere to turn before I finally was like, I'm done. ABCs. Some of you, I hope my kids, they understand the ABCs way before I did. Way before I did. But it's not over till it's over, as long as they physically live. If anyone ever truly accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, believes that he died and shed his blood on the cross for their sins and confesses with their mouth, which should include committing to following the Lord. Again, that's the examination of the faith. See if you're in the faith. We want to make sure there's proof. We don't want to let the enemy lie to us and we think we're good when we're not. Good to go. Not good on your own through Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. There's fruit in your life. You're not walking in darkness. You're walking in darkness without any problem, 1 John says. You're not saved. Okay, verse 21 says that we were once alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. While we were his enemies, he died for us, Romans 5:10 says. So side note, if God reconciled all to him through Jesus while we were his enemies, and that includes those who are still his enemies, why would we hold on to things others do to us? Knowing that Jesus forgave them, that Jesus did all the work. He's just waiting for them to accept him. Why would we hang on to those things? Aren't we supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus? Shouldn't we be about the same things Jesus was about? We need to be careful with that. We all do. Because we're supposed to be like Jesus, like our Lord, our Master. Verse 22 says, he presents us holy and blameless above reproach in his sight. Now imagine that, holy and blameless, blemish-free, accusation-free, above reproach in his sight. On the way in, I knew I had this in the message, but on the way in, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, so Satan, right, he's the accuser of the brethren. He could be like, hey, look at what he's doing, look at what he's doing. And he can say, all I see is righteousness, white as snow, Christ's righteousness on them, above reproach. The accuser, he's got to be irritated at that. The blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus and what it did for us. We are men and women of God. And there's nothing he can do about it once we've been sealed. Now, we do not want to work for him as children of God. We don't want to fall for his temptations and his tests, his things that he does, his little dangling and idols and things. We got to get rid of those because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit in us will guide us. If we ask him, he'll tell us. If we're in his word, he'll reveal things to us in his word, in the living word of God that he gave us. Why are we holy, blameless, and blemish, and accusation-free in his sight? Only by the blood of Jesus. That's it. That is it. Thank God for making it so easy for us. Thank the Lord. Only God could do what perfect thing needed to be done to reconcile all things back to him after the fall, after our rebellion. And I like to always remind us, it's not like Adam did something that you would have done different. No, the best one was put up there and he failed. How audacious would it be to us to think that we can add in something of our own to the blood of Jesus? Once we have his Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, we are equipped through faith to deny the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and let his spirit rule in our lives, to do the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to do. He has employed you. He has called you. You are a soldier of Christ, a man or woman of God, of Christ, and you have work to do that he wants you to do. He doesn't want us to just lazy boy Christian. I'm good to go. He wants us to get working, to get busy, to be so excited about the Lord, you just want to tell people about it. Encouraging already believers, but also using apologetics and discussing things, and hopefully those lost people, those seekers, I mean, there's a whole gamut of them. They're all in different areas. Some are wounded by past churches with false teachings, or they just weren't ready for those teachings yet, or sometimes they're just angry at God. I mean, atheists, which, you know, I don't believe in, but they talk about God more than a lot of believers do, about something they don't believe in. So there are all these different things, but we're supposed to be going out and having a reason for the hope that we have when they ask. Even if it's a trap ask, if we have a good answer, it's going to stump them. Because we got the cheat book on the entire universe. God gave us everything we need in his word. And we're all supposed to be reading it and equipping ourselves. And then what are we to do? We're supposed to fellowship all the more. And now we got all these different giftings and passions. And I've learned a lot from a lot of you guys because it's your passion. It may not be my passion, but I'm like, man, that is really good. I got to keep that in the memory banks, or at least get your number down so when this guy asks me about this thing that I have no idea how to talk about it, I can go, hey, why don't you call that guy? He can do it. He can answer it. We're a family of God. We need all of us. That goes all around the world, the church all across time. God knows what he's doing. He knew all of us would be in here right now. He's got us at the picnic. He's got us at the baptism. And he could get someone's attention who's in there at the public beach who's going to see the baptism and hear our conversations. Salt and light, folks, in the darkness. Salt and light opportunity in the darkness. Okay, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Bottom line, finish the race. Be immovable like the bull in the storm. You will not be swayed to and fro because of false teachers, doctrines, enticements, and idols. You are about the Lord's business. That's what we are. If we continue in the faith, grounded on Christ's firm foundation, steadfast, immovable, keeping the hope of the true gospel preached to all. If you continue in the faith, if you continue in the faith, why wouldn't someone continue in the faith? You guys remember Demas? Talked about him a few times. Walked with Paul. He was with Paul. There's letters that talk about how great Demas is doing. He's with the brothers, all this. And then there's another point where Paul says, Demas left us. The cares of this world overtook him in 2 Timothy 4:10. And he was never one of us. He was with us, but he was never one of us. That's what Paul says about Demas. Don't be a Demas. He didn't finish the race. Now, I hope we see Demas. He goes, man, I just didn't get it. I left, but I'm back. Oh, that's so great, Demas. I got a lot of mileage out of your mess-ups. I hope he's there. So while he looked the part for a while, like some well-known people and pastors and worship leaders and praise teams and stuff, and now they're rejecting Jesus publicly, and they're deconstructing their faith. What would the scriptures in Demas' example tell us? They never were one of us. They acted like something they weren't. You could be a child of a family of Christians and acting like your family, but you're not really a believer. Don't be that. Make sure you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Not through mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, none of those. It's got to be real between you and Jesus. Okay, so like I said, it's not like Demas can't be saved, couldn't have been saved later in life. There's no record of it. I really hope he was. Oh, no. But it's not over till it's over, right? Okay, final thoughts. The enemy wants God's creation to reject God, trust the world, trust him, and their own understanding. I mean, this is kind of what got Adam and Eve to fail. I mean, I know it was a temptation, but they also were like, well, the food does look good. I know God told me not to eat it, but it does look good to eat, and it will make me knowledgeable. That's our understanding. Lean not on our own understanding. He wants to keep people, the enemy, blinded to God's goodness and love. As we've talked about today, all that God did for us to bring us back to him. He didn't mess up. We messed up. And he paid the price for us. That's perfect love. Perfect love. The enemy wants us to forget who created all things, which includes Lucifer and the fallen angels. He created it all. And he wants us to forget that God did all that. The enemy wants us to think it's too difficult or we're too sinful, we're too far gone to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. There is the power. Do not underestimate the power of the blood of Jesus. You could be the worst sinner from your when you were born till you're 100 years old. The worst every day. And if you believe and receive Jesus on your 100th birthday, you're saved. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do that makes you exempt until you finally reject him and you die, physically die. He wants us to forget Jesus is holding us all together and that he will never leave us. He wants you to feel alone, that you can't talk to anybody, that you can't share. He wants you to feel that addiction or that sin or whatever it is that you keep struggling with. He wants you to keep it to yourself and just feel alone. That's what he wants. But you know Jesus is holding you together and he's there with you. The Holy Spirit is in you and you have brothers and sisters you can trust. And you should let the light of truth shine on that and the devil will flee. Reject the devil and he will flee. Don't listen to him. Don't let him get you alone. Don't wallow alone with the enemy. Don't do it. You have to believe what the word says, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. The enemy has deceived so many people, but we, the church, have to keep Jesus first in our lives to combat the enemy's lies. We have to remind ourselves that Jesus loves us and all lost people. He's done all the work. He's the creator, he's the savior, and he's the sustainer. It's all about Jesus. We just need to follow him and show the world the truth. The truth. When we fall for the world's lies, when we serve idols, we are not presenting the truth to them, that Jesus is our first love, that we are a man or woman of God. We're being a hypocrite. We don't want to be a hypocrite. Keep Jesus first. Be an ambassador of Christ. Look for opportunities to sprinkle salt and light because of what Jesus did for us. It's all about him. Once we lay down our pride, it's as easy as ABC for the unbeliever because Jesus made it that easy. Again, the power of the blood. So we're going to have baptisms today. Now we know baptism doesn't cleanse away your sins. That's not what the baptism is. But they are publicly proclaiming what God has done inside. It's an outward sign of the inward work. God had a purpose when Jesus was born of a virgin. Came from God, right? Not from God. He is God, but he came as the Son of Man, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to be rejected by the religious leaders, and to be put to death on the cross. which he freely gave himself up to. It seemed to be a failed purpose to the world, but it was the greatest purpose ever fulfilled. He had a purpose. He had a mission. And he had to do it so we could be reconciled to him. We can trust him. He is holding us together for a greater purpose than we can even understand. He can do amazing things through us if we would just trust him. We can't always control what comes our way, but we can always control how we handle what comes our way, what God allows. And sometimes what we've allowed that God didn't want us to allow, depending on how we've been obedient to him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." To one of the called according to his purpose is as easy as to be one of those called according to his purpose is as easy as ABC. If you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come talk to me, talk to Pastor Rick, any of the elders. We want you to be assured and sealed for eternity for Jesus Christ. He made it that easy. He wants you to be sure, assured of your salvation. He's holding you together right now for that very purpose. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to teach your word. Thank you for these verses that are an encouragement, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that we are always with you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to do the baptisms. Thank you for everybody who prepared food and worked hard and got everything ready before we even got to church this morning, Lord. And I just pray for the weather to hold off. I pray that we have a very blessed fellowship time, that we are a great example, a light in the darkness at the public beach. And Lord, as we do the baptisms, I pray it speaks to some lost people's hearts, as well as people in our church family that are watching and maybe doubting or are considering, Lord, making you their Lord and Savior, Lord. Please guide us and help us this day, and bless the rest of the day today and this next week. In Jesus' name, amen.